Jesus is bigger. Jesus is greater. You know, I can't remember how long ago it was. It might have been over a year, but I preached a sermon on Jesus is bigger. And man, when you get the revelation that no matter what you're facing, that's small potatoes to Him. You know, sometimes you need to see it from, I'll say it this way, you know, I've got lost in the woods before, and especially at nighttime, everything looks the same, you know, and even properties you know and feel like you know like the back of your hand and get stuck in there, you feel like you're lost. But, you know, if you were looking at that situation from an overhead view, you'd be able to instruct and to guide yourself how to get out of that. Hey, there's a field if you just turn right and walk 100 yards. You know, you can't see it down there. We got to see it from His position, and His position is always a position of victory. He's not seated on the throne of fear. He's not seated on the throne of depression. Or we might be in the midst of those things and in the forest of poverty right now and in the forest of sickness and in the forest of depression and feels like chaos and everything, but He's not. And we're not strong in us, we're strong in Him. The Bible didn't tell us to be strong in us. If we'd be strong in us, we're in trouble. He said, be strong in the Lord. Well, He sits from a position of authority and victory, and we share in His authority and His victory. Praise God. So don't be staring at your problem. Be staring at your answer. Amen. Amen. Because when you stare at the answer, and worship will help you hold your gaze on Him, it'll start to build your faith. Because remember Abraham, the Bible said that when he was going through a test where he was told he was going to have a child, but he's 100 years old, you know. His wife's 90, her womb's dead, the Bible said. The Bible said he grew strong in faith, or his faith got strengthened as he gave glory to God. Amen. What was he looking at? Not the mirror. Not the birth certificate. Not the wrinkles on Sarah. He wasn't staring at the wrinkles and saying, Lord, you see these extra wrinkles here. No, he was looking at his answer. I praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to have a baby. Father, I thank you. You're my healer tonight. Praise God. Father, you're my provider tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. But these are things you got to do. You got to stir yourself up. You know, the Bible talks about in Isaiah 60:61, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Well, something lifts when you start to praise Him, because you're looking at your answer, you're looking at your help, your faith goes through the roof, but you have to put that garment on. Amen. If you choose to leave it off, it's just like the shield of faith. The shield of faith will stop the enemy, but you got to lift that shield of faith up. He's not going to carry that around for you. So we've been blessed. Praise God. And we're going to go forward into more here tonight. I better get this out of the way. You know what's going to happen if I don't. Praise God. I don't know, I was in the office just making sure my divot was looking good and my tie, you know, because who's going to receive from a preacher with a bad divot? I can't receive from a preacher with a bad divot, and it's not. And so I was fixing, and all I could think about is what's going to happen if I come up and just face plant. I was thinking, would I make it out to be a joke? Would I make it out to be, and I don't know what I would do. So thank God it didn't happen, praise God. But go with me to 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. This is our continuation from Sunday, and if you weren't here, that's okay. I'm just going to real quickly just mention what we talked about. But I'll tell you what, we're here in the right place at the right time tonight. You know, there's people sitting in this room that they haven't just heard about God's goodness. They've tasted and seen that God is good. I mean, people facing impossible situations, told it wasn't going to happen, that sickness and disease and financial ruins and things with their children, and God's turned things around. So when I say we're in the right place, this is a place of miracles. This is a place of help. But let's pray and believe God for utterance tonight. Lord, we're just so grateful for this Wednesday night service. Father, there are so many people here that are going through different things and facing different things, and they need to hear from you. Lord, I did my best on my part, on my side of things, but Father, we want the anointing. We don't want to rest on the wisdom of man. We want the power of God. And Lord, I just want to be a faithful mailman of your word tonight. The mailman doesn't determine what packages come to people. They just deliver them. I just want to deliver what you want for the people tonight. So Father, speak through me. Lord, I like what the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. That way when I speak, words from heaven come out, and you know what people need to hear. I don't. So just, we thank you for utterance tonight, and we thank you for boldness. We thank you for impartation and revelation and correction if need be. But Lord, if, you know, we ask for a supernatural move tonight, and what I mean by that is that every single person would get something specific from you tonight. And I can't do that on my own. I wouldn't even know how to even think of what to say to do that. But I know you can. So we thank you tonight. Be God here tonight. That's what we're asking. Just be God. We'll get out of the way and you be God. You're the vine. We're just branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So thank you for our help here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, in 1 John 5 and verse 4, it says that whatsoever is born of God, well, I don't know what your background is, but to get born of God, you just receive Jesus. Amen. I'm so glad he made it simple. Yes. You're growing up, you know, Court was in religion, I was in religion, a lot of my friends and family still are in religion. Man, they make it hard to get to God. Yes. Like he's some far off thing. He's not. Jesus was the bridge to the Father. And to be born again, it just simply means to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so whatsoever is born of God, look at this, it says, overcometh the world. You have overcoming DNA in you when you're a Christian. And it says overcoming the world. Well, we looked at on Sunday morning that the Bible, you know, this coronavirus and things we're seeing things and experiencing things that none of us in our generation have ever seen, but things that the Bible says are coming to pass. But what we saw in the Word is that it's not going to get better outside the walls of the church. That Jesus was clear and Paul was clear that as it gets closer to the return of Jesus, you're going to see more earthquakes, more wars, more famines, more pestilences. 2 Timothy 3, Paul said that evil men will wax worse and worse. And we're seeing evil things and depravity on the earth. Like, I can't wrap my head around how human beings can be a certain way. But the Bible said evilness will get worse and worse. And in the world, and we saw in the Bible on Sunday that Satan is the god of this world. Satan, you could say, is in control of this world. And a lot of Christians, they say what? God is in control. And what did I say? If God's in control, he better go back to control college. Because I think he flunked out. Because if he's in control, he's messed this whole thing up. But the reason the whole thing's messed up is because it's being run by a stealer, a killer, and a destroyer. That's what 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 tells us in John 10 and verse 10. God is not partnering with the devil. In fact, if you want to know who God is, it's simple. Just look at his son. It'll take the confusion out of who God is because Jesus said, I'm only here to do what I see my father do, and I only say what my father says, and I'm only here to do the will or what my father wants. So everything that Jesus did, he was basically a God robot. Well, I don't know what is God love? Well, was Jesus love? Is God a healer? Well, was Jesus a healer? Is God a provider? Well, did Jesus provide provision? He sure did. He was merciful. He was kind. Why? He was a visible representation of the Father. And the Father and the devil don't have anything in common. They're not partnering, taking turns, destroying, and one taking the night off and the other destroying the next night. But my point is, Jesus said, in the world, we will have tribulation. We will have tests and trials. Well, of course we will. It's a world run by the devil. The devil's darkness, the world's in darkness, and we're the light of the world. We stand out spiritually in this world to the devil and his cohorts like a sore thumb. We do. We stand out, and we're targets. He hates us. He wants to ruin our lives. And so Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation. And then he showed things that are coming upon the earth. But thank God, God gave us the answer. Amen. Because he said, if we're born of God, we have the right to overcome anything that would happen on this world. Well, what happens on this world? Oppression, depression, poverty, sickness, right? People coming against you, people slandering you, you know, weapons formed against you. All those things are things of the world, not of heaven. And he said, if we're born of God, I'm so glad he's not a deadbeat daddy. He didn't, you know, when we got saved, we became a part of his family. He didn't just then say, to heck with you, I'll see you when you get here in heaven. No, he gave us overcoming DNA. But he said, there's a victory, or the way, a way we walk it out. He said, this is the victory. Your faith. He's talking about our faith, that's personal. So whether or not you're victorious over those things that come in the world depend on your faith. So we don't have to be troubled. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He says, I've overcome them, so be of good cheer. Well, he's given us the recipe to overcome ourselves. Hallelujah. And so we don't have to be troubled. We don't have to be worried. But what we do need to do is make sure we're skillful. And make sure we're prepped and ready. And make sure that our faith, remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, Peter, Satan desires to have you, to sift you as wheat. Remember, he told him that over in Luke, and that doesn't sound good. Well, Satan desires to have us all. He'd love to see all of us messed up. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you, Peter. And notice what he prayed for. He said, he didn't say, I pray for you that God would take care of the devil. That's not what he said. Devil has every right to do what he's doing down here on planet Earth. He has every right to be doing it. Because Adam and Eve handed him the keys. If I give you the keys to my truck and the title, you have every right to do whatever you want to that truck. And when Adam and Eve handed over the keys to planet Earth, the devil has every right. And God is not somebody that goes against his word and goes against rightness, even though the devil's a bunch of wrongness. But God didn't pray for Peter that the devil would take his hands. God didn't pray for Peter that God would swoop in and save Peter. No. God said, Satan desires to have you, Peter, but I've prayed that your faith faileth not. What's he saying? Peter, if your faith's working, you're going to be fine with whatever Satan tries to bring you. And that's what this verse is saying. If your faith is working, it doesn't matter what the world brings you. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to go forward then in helping you. Go to Mark 11:23. I was struggling hitting the low notes tonight. I don't know. My voice was playing hide and go seek on me tonight. I don't know where it went. It was there and then it was gone. Oh, man. I almost had to limbo to get that one out, you know. If you start to see me limbo up here, it's because some of those notes you got to get real low on. And so that might just happen one of these days. Someone come hold the microphone sideways. I'll just sing like this. Going under the other thing. It's tough sometimes, man. Those low notes get me. But Mark 11:23. Now we know 23 and 24 are our verses that Jesus spoke to us that will change your life. You've seen them and you've heard them over and over again. And even if you have or even if you haven't, you need to listen to what Jesus is saying, because these are words that will change your world. Amen. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have what he says. So Jesus said, it doesn't matter if there's a mountain in front of you. He said, if you'll speak faith words. Faith words will cause the mountain to be moved. Amen. And then he says in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, if you'll believe you receive them, you'll have them. And Brother Hagin used to say it this way. He'd say, I've never heard more sweeter words of faith fall from the Master's lips than Mark 11:23 and 24. These are our verses on faith. Praise the Lord. And what these verses are is demonstration of how faith operates. What is this? This is 23 and 24 is the releasing of faith. Empty words in verse 23 don't move mountains. It didn't just say words move mountains. It said words that you believe. Faith words move mountains. Well, the Bible says faith is of the heart and the mouth. For with the heart man believes. You first believe in your heart, and then you release it out of your mouth. Once you get it in your heart, it can't stay in your heart. It has to be released. Jesus didn't say, go back to verse 23 if you would, Lynn. Jesus didn't say the mountain moves by thinking about it. The mountain doesn't move by hoping about it. The mountain doesn't move by wishing about it. The mountain moves when you open your mouth and release that which is already in your heart. Faith cometh by hearing the word. Where does it come? It shows up in your belly, but out of the abundance of what's in here, this will speak to those mountains and then they'll move. Praise God. So verse 23 and 24 are the releasing of our faith. Hallelujah. And without the releasing of your faith, you don't have things moving. Because that's how he said to do it. And it might be time in 2020 just to start doing it the way he said to do it. And pushing religion off the side and what granddad taught us and what preacher so-and-so taught us. And just start doing what the Bible said to do. Amen. That's just my suggestion to you. He knows best, you know. And this is the releasing. Well, it's just like this. You can go out and want to hunt all you want, you know. You can release those bullets, but you can't release bullets until the first bullet's in there, in the gun, right? Amen. You heard of people going out before, you know, and they're getting ready to pull the trigger and click. Oh, no, forgot to load the gun. That must have happened to Jeff once or twice. Hey, he's really into this part. He remembers the day that big buck was standing in front of him and he forgot to load his gun. And he's a gunsmith. So I don't know what happened on that day, but Jeff forgot to load the gun. But you got to be able to shoot, you load first. 23 and 24 are shooting. But 22 is loading. And 23 and 24 don't happen rightly and powerfully and skillfully without 22. 23 and 24 are the shooting and the releasing, but 22 is the loading. And what is 22? And because if you have 22 in place, 23 and 24 come naturally. People wonder, well, how do I have the faith words to speak to the mountain? Take care of verse 22 first. You take care of verse 22 and 23 and 24 will be easy. What am I talking about? Well, verse 22, if you go there, Lynn, that'd be a blessing. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, now before he said, speak it and pray and believe it, he said, the first thing you need to do is have faith in God. Amen. If you'll have faith in God, 23 will automatically happen. The mountains will be in your way and you won't care because you already did verse 22. When you pray, you'll already have the faith to believe that you receive. And so we talked about this on Sunday at the end. I said, what do we need to do? What where do we go? And we looked at verse 22 and I said, you need to build your faith in God. And so tonight I want to help you with building your faith in God. It will help you and it'll bless you. And I want to look at four different cases in the Bible, and we might turn there. If not, I'll just read them and maybe give you the references or just kind of skim over it. But I want you to see the common thread that runs through these four different people, these four stories, and see how amazing things were accomplished in their life. But if you boil it all down and reduce it all down, you know, that's a cooking term I heard on Chopped. You know, they get in front and they tell you what they made and they say, well, I reduced this down and reduced that down. Okay. So we're reducing it down, our faith down, to their stories, to the fact that it all came down to they had faith in God. And because they had faith in God, they moved into things that they could otherwise never have gotten into on their own. They got out of things and were delivered from things that they could not on their own. And everything, the catalyst of everything down, remember, it was reduced down to faith in God. Go with me to Hebrews 11 and verse 7. I'm glad I'm here with all of you. Praise God. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. He is good. What are the first two words? By faith. Well, remember what we already learned on Sunday and today about faith. What can faith cause you to do? Overcome. By faith. So we know there's going to be some overcoming here. Amen. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, What were we talking about? Not seen. God told him to build something that was utterly ridiculous for the climate, for the place they lived, and for what they had seen up to that point, which was no rain, which was desert, which was dry. And God says, build an ark. And the Bible says that Noah, being warned of God, things not seen yet, look at this, moved with fear, that means with reverence, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So we know that what saved Noah naturally was the ark. The rains came, the floods rose, and the world was destroyed except for everybody on that boat. Right? But for that boat to have been constructed, that was his ultimate deliverance. It came from simply believing God. Here God tells him something that seems so ridiculous to his mind. Seems so ridiculous to the people down at the lumber yard. To all the neighbors. What are you building, Noah? An ark. For what? There's a storm coming. And can you imagine the years it took, the energy it took, the mockings that he received? But it was his deliverance and it saved him. And the only reason he built that ark was because he had faith in God. Changed his whole world. Saved his whole family, praise God. Faith in God. All starts with faith in God. We love verse 23 and 24. Say it. Pray it and believe it. But it starts with 22. 23 and 24 are so simple when you take care of 22. Hebrews 11:8, one verse down, it says, by faith, there it is again, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Well, this is a reference to Genesis chapter 12 when the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, get up from everything you're comfortable with, everything that's familiar to you, and go to a land. I'll show you when you start going. I'm not even going to tell you. But get away from everything comfortable and go to a land that I'll eventually show you. And he goes on to say down through verses 2, 3, and 4, he talks about if you'll obey me, the blessings that you'll walk into. Now again, here's something in the natural that what? Is screaming at Abraham, no, 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 no. Maybe you have something tonight in the natural that's screaming at you, no, 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 no. But God has your answer. Hallelujah. And your first homework is just have faith in Him. See, because the problem is we get so caught up in what's telling us no, 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 that our faith gets built up in the no, 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 no. And when you have faith in God, you don't have to worry about the how. Because the no, 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 no is telling you, how's this going to happen? This is impossible. But when you have your faith in God, you don't need to know about the hows, the whens, the wheres. You just have to have faith in Him. And then if you go down to verse 17, talking about Abraham again, it says that by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And then we know this, that if you go back and read that account of that story in Genesis 22, God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, up on the mountain and offer him for a burnt offering. Well, what would your flesh say? Take your child up on the mountain and murder them. You know, the one you waited till you were 100 for. Right? What would your mind have been saying? What would your neighbors have been saying? But we know this. He did what God said. And at the end, an angel appeared and said, don't kill your son. That's not the point here. And there was a ram in the thicket. But he said, because you have obeyed my voice and have not withheld your son, your only son Isaac, I'm going to bless you. And you go on and see all the blessings that affected him, his family, His family's family, his family's family, family, and just down through all the way to us, praise God. But how did Abraham get to that place of blessing in 12 and verse in chapter 22? He simply had faith in God. That was it. God told me, I believe you, Lord. Okay, you tell me to leave, I'll leave. You tell me to take my son up, I believe you. I have faith in you. That's all faith is, just believing God. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 11, 29. This is the Faith Hall of Fame chapter, of course. Now, this is talking about the children of Israel and how they passed through the Red Sea. But who was leading the charge at the Red Sea? It was Moses. Moses was out in front. And so the Bible says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Now, we know the Egyptians were bearing down on them. Now, here's a situation where you talk about a roadblock. Mountains right, mountains left, Egyptians behind, and a body of water in front. And God's saying, go forward. Can you imagine what that body of water was saying to them? You know, just kind of like your checkbook talks to you at times. Like your circumstances and situations talk to you, or your symptoms in your body talk to you. Not getting past this. Not going to make it past this. What you going to do now? This is impossible. You hear what the doctors say. You saw what the calculator said. You know what your paycheck says. Those things talk. That body of water was talking to them. And what did God say? Lift up your rod, Moses. Going forward. And Moses didn't sit there and question it. Moses said, well, I don't understand how that's going. No. What did he do? Lift it up. And the water went, shh. Well, we know they got a cross, but if you reduce that down, where did it start? He believed God. He did Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God. And then situations changed. Hallelujah. And I'll just mention this. What about Elijah? Elijah's world got flipped upside down in 1 Kings 17. He prophesied there'd be no rain, which means drought and famine. And what? The king and his nasty wife were after him to kill him. And he said, you know, can't go out to the store anymore, can't get my paycheck, can't go to work, can't commune with my friends. God knew it. He needed to get out of Dodge, you know, and God said what? Go to the wilderness. Lord, there's no grocery stores in the wilderness. There's no ovens and refrigerators and there's no home in there. There's no way for me to make money in the wilderness. He could have gotten his head, stayed where he was, and lost his life. I'm here to tell you, I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but there will be people who are lovers of Jesus, who are children of God. In fact, you know this already. You know Christians that love the Lord. They're heaven bound, and yet their lives are hell on earth. It's torment and chaos and crisis and turmoil. And a life of sickness, and a life of disease, and a life of poverty, and a life of fear, and a life of anxiety. And they're God's children. The world, you'd say, is overcoming them. I'm not talking about seasons of tests and trials. I'm talking about lifestyles of being overcome. Yet they are born again, have the same DNA that we do in 1 John 5 and 4, and have the same opportunity to use faith. But if people don't have faith in God, just to say, well, I know God and this and that, and just that's not going to cut it in these last days. You better know that you know. And if Elijah would have said, Lord, there's nothing out there in the wilderness for me, what in the world am I going to do? He could have stayed right where he was, and the king would have caught him and put him to death. But you know how Elijah got delivered? He went out to that wilderness and miracles happened. How? Reduce it down. He believed God. Yes. He believed God. Yes. All your problems start at one starting place. If I can get you to believe God, we can get that thing taken care of. You know why? Because there's nothing you're facing that he's moved by. Nothing that you're facing is too hard for him. Remember he said, behold, I am the Lord God. There's nothing too hard for me. I love it. He's just truthful. Nothing's too hard for me. So if you can have faith in him, he can take care of what you can't. Hallelujah. And God took care of all these things that Noah couldn't take care of, that Abraham couldn't take care of, that Elijah couldn't take care of, that Moses couldn't take care of. All they had to do was believe him. Yes. Amen. Praise God. God. You know, I don't sit around thinking, okay, step one of faith. Okay, I must open my mouth and speak it. 23 flows naturally for me. Because out of the abundance of what's in here comes out of here. So what's in here is big on financial things come against me. I have bigness of God in here, and out of my mouth speak faith words to those mountains. All different situations. You look at it that way. Don't sit there and think, okay, now I got to do verse 23. Okay, now I got to say this. And okay, now I got to do this. No. If I take care of verse 22, faith flows from me. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Go with me to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Daniel 11, 32. Now, you can't have faith or trust or belief in one you don't know. If I walk into a room full of children, and Caleb and Abby are also in that room, my kids, those two children are going to respond to me differently than any of those kids that are strangers to me. I'm going to be able to get them to do more than that. I'm going to be able to get them to trust me more. And it all boils down to they know me and the other kids don't know who I am. And unfortunately, Christians struggle in faith, which is the vehicle that God's grace flows in on, by the way. It's not your faith that moves mountains. It's God flowing through your faith. That think of faith as like a pipeline. That, you know, he's always talking about working in the oil and gas fields. And we'd lay the pipeline. Well, the pipeline's good. It's necessary. But what you want is the gas and the oil flowing through it. That's the power. That's the money. That's the increase. Our faith is great. We need it. But it's the power that flows through the faith that we need. Hallelujah. And you can't have faith or trust in what you don't know. Just because you know God can, doesn't mean you know He will. If you were going, you know, to a financial seminar Bill Gates was having over at the Trillium Lodge. You know, Bill Gates comes into Cherry Creek all the time and does seminars. And let's say Bill Gates did that. And you think to yourself, I know Bill Gates can pay off every single one of my debts, my family's debts. He can set me up for life. Just because you know he can, doesn't mean that you going into that meeting will have faith that he will. You don't know him. He doesn't know you. Hallelujah. I remember when I was back in my dumb years, you know, when I talk about my dumb years, addicted, drugs, alcohol, gambling problem. And when I had gone up to the casino when I was in college at Brockport, I had won big on the weekend at blackjack, and I thought I was a big guy. He shot, you know, buying people drinks and dinner and taking people out. You remember, as a high roller. I just felt like a high roller. I had hit it, you know, so I thought, this is easy. I love this, you know. So I went back, I think it was the next Monday, went back up there, and I literally lost all my money within a matter of 5 to 10 minutes, and I was down in the dumps. And I'm driving back on 90, and my truck breaks down on the thruway, and tow truck comes and takes it to the nearest gas station. And I'm watching people pull into the gas station, and they're driving, you know, Cadillacs and nice trucks. I know they have money. I know they have the money to fix my to pay for my truck and the towing bill. I know it. But you know what? I didn't go up and ask any of them for money. Right. I mean, I could have, but I would have had zero confidence that they would have helped me. Why? I don't know them. But I called my dad and said, Dad, I need help. And you know what? I had full faith that, number one, he's going to be ticked off at me. I was in trouble. That was number one. But I knew he wasn't going to leave me stranded. I knew who he was, knew how he felt about me, knew the resources he had for me, know his characteristics. So I went to the one that I had full confidence. I was scared and timid, but I had full confidence. And where people struggle with faith is they just don't know their Heavenly Father. God has just been like a vending machine to people. When I need something, go pull on the vending machine and hopefully I get something. He's just this idea that's out there that, you know, eases our conscience and some things, but to really know Him, how much would you have to know Him to, when He tells you, take your son up on a mountain, to know, this ain't my God. There's something more going on here. Stand at the Red Sea and lift up a stick, Moses. You got to really know God to do that. Amen. You really got to know Him. To walk out into the wilderness with no grocery stores, no paycheck, no nothing. You got to really know God to believe Him to that extent. He wasn't just some idea to Elijah. He was so real to these people. They had faith in Him. Hallelujah. And Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall He corrupt by flatteries. But look at this. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Well, why will you do exploits when you know God? Because when you know God, you'll have faith in God, and the faith is what causes the exploits. God flowing through your faith. Because remember what we always say, faith overcomes, but faith needs to be birthed. And you know what faith's mama is? Knowledge. Faith has a mama, and her name's knowledge. And once you get knowledge of something, then faith grows. When faith grows, you release your faith, and then God comes in with His power and moves and turns and breaks down walls and transforms and delivers and heals and provides. But it starts with the knowing. To have faith in God, we must first know Him. I'm so thankful that when I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, It would have been back in 2003. I got saved in 2002, hemmed and hawed in 2002. He became my Savior. He was my fire insurance, but He surely wasn't my Lord, because I thought He was going to send me to be a missionary to China or Africa, equally places I don't ever want to go to, you know, or back then didn't want to go to, but now I've realized His way's best. But I was afraid, so I just, you know, lived how I wanted to. Thankful I was going to heaven, but my life was still hell on earth as a Christian. Your life can be hell on earth as a Christian. If you don't cooperate with His word, just because you're a Christian, the heavens don't just open up on you. You have to cooperate with the word. And I wasn't cooperating with His word, and life was hell on earth, and here I was His child. And finally I got my act together, you know, surrendered, and He told me to go to Rhema Bible, I knew to go to Rhema, as far as I knew to go. Well, I did. In February of 2003, I went to Brother Hagin's last winter Bible seminar, but when I was there, I realized that was partly why I was supposed to be there, but I'm supposed to come back to school in the fall there. And I remember getting there in the school in the fall, and one of my first classes, I just remember, you ever have a situation where you just recognize the light bulbs coming on, where it's like, you know you're different from that point on? Well, Reverend Marty Blackwater was teaching a class, and it was about faith, but he started about talking about faith and how the absolute starting place is knowing who God is. And I can't tell you how thankful I am for that, because maybe it won't seem as dramatic to you, but when I was there as a young boy, who I've always had faith, the faith message stirring in my heart. It's what the Lord told me I would major on in preaching. I know that's my job on planet Earth, is to teach faith. We do other things, but that's my lane. I can't get out of it too much, because then I wander off into things that's just, it's not where He has me. So I just stay in it, you know, and major in it, you know. But when you go to college, you major in things, but you can take other classes and you minor in some other things. But when you major, that's the focus. And the focus for the last 10 years has been a faith church and teaching people faith. And faith was always so big on the inside of me. And it was like I knew that Him teaching that class, it was the missing link for me. This is how you get faith. I just knew it. Go back and look at Him, because He's the one ultimately that needs to move the mountains. Because if you could do it, you would. He's the one that needs to turn the situation and heal the body and have some supernatural deliverance. But those things don't happen if you don't have faith in the one that can do it. And so I remember that coming to light. And now, after that, they that know their God, I've just taken since 2003, I got born again in 2002, but in 2003 from that class, I've taken time, who are you, Father? Looking at who you are, meditating on who you are, and just getting faith built up on, in the inside of me. And you've all heard, we've had some incredible testimonies that only faith could have done it. And remember, when I'm saying that, I'm talking about God moving on my faith. I'm not taking credit for it, but things that only faith in God could have done. Impossible situations physically. Impossible situations financially. Naysayers with things of the church. Natural events that had no way, but faith in God made it happen. Amen. And you know where it started? Taking the time to get to know Him. Praise the Lord. So in our closing here, as we're fixing to wind down to close here, I just want to put two things into you before we close. And maybe we'll go forward on Wednesday nights and look at more at this. I don't know. I just knew tonight this is where we're supposed to go. But two things must be embedded in you concerning Him. And the first one's found in Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. Because I believe if you know these two things about God, everything else you find out about Him is like icing on the cake. Yes. Two things to have embedded in you. What are we doing? Building your faith in Him. And the first one is, number one, He's for you. Amen. Now, let me say this real quick. The things I'm going to share these next two points are so basic and foundational and simple that you might initially think in your mind, I already know this. Let me get bold for a second. A lot of people say, I already know this. The points I'm going to say, you say, oh, I already know that. Well, if you already knew that, you would never worry again in your life about the things I'm going to share with you. Your finances would no longer trouble you anymore. The symptoms in your body and the doctor's report, if you really know what I'm about to tell you, they would not bother you anymore. Those people that are coming against you and being malicious and lies and things that are, you know, the tongues that rise against you, Isaiah called it. If you really know this stuff, don't bother you. It just doesn't bother you. So let's find out if you really know. But remember this. Remember the revelation the Lord gave me for me personally, I don't mean it that way. I mean, He gave it to me. Maybe you already had the revelation. But remember when Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. Yes. Your freedom is just a knowing away. Yes. That's what He said. If you know the truth, you're set free. That's right. But remember what we saw about that word know, because a lot of people say, oh, I know the word. Come on. And they're not set free. Oh, I know the word. But remember what we saw about the word know in the Greek, that the word know is the same word that when Mary said, how can I have a baby? I have not known a man. It's the same Greek word. Well, what does it mean to know a man to have a baby? It means to come together, to be as one. When Jesus said, if you know the word, He's talking about becoming so intimate with the word, like a husband and a wife knowing what happens when they know. They become one. He's saying when somebody knows the truth, they've become one with the truth. That means you're not separate from what this says. I'm sick, but the Bible says I'm healed. No, you're healed because you're one with the Bible. Well, I'm broke. In my situation, I'm broke, but the Bible says I could be rich. You don't know the word then. Because when you know the word, you've become one with the word. A husband in the eyes of God and a wife in the eyes of God in that situation are not separate. They're one. They're one. And that's what the level of knowing the truth to be set free is, when you take on what this says about you, and this is more real to you than what you feel, what you see, what you hear. That's the truth. So let's find out if you know this or not. Because if you do, it all fear goes bye-bye. All worry goes bye-bye. Number one, he's for you. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. All the things that God did, all the things that mountains that God moved, all the deliverances, all the miracles. If he's for you, that takes care of it all. Well, how do we know he's for us? The next verse tells us. He that spared. Now, if you have a thought in your mind that God has abandoned you, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Well, God's not interested. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Verse 32 tells you how interested he is in your life. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for you. Because you're all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? That's everything you're facing, everything you're struggling with that you don't think he cares about, that you've bought the lie that he's not interested. It's a bunch of garbage and deceit from hell. He cares. He showed us he cares. He showed us by sending Jesus. God is on our side. The miracle working, nothing too hard, nothing impossible for God is on our side. He just needs us to believe him. He just needs us to have faith in him. That's all he needs. Because he moves on faith. Praise God. So number one, you got to renew your mind to. He's for me. He's for me. He wants us to change. He wants us to turn around. He's not okay with me being sad. He's not okay with me being broke. He's not okay with me being sick. He's not okay with me being depressed. That's a person that knows he's for you. See, Caleb and Abby, they know their daddy's on their side. In times of trouble, where do they come? Their dad. They know I don't want him sick. They know I never want him broke. They know I never want him tormented. Why? I'm on their side. Praise God. Number two, we're almost done here. Hebrews 13:5. But if you're a note taker, number two, you have to know that he will never leave you. That means he's always with you. And here's the thing. Well, I'll read the verse here real quick. Hebrews 13:5. Man, this is so simple, Pastor Mike. Well, why are you still worried then? Why are you still laying in bed at night, wringing your hands and losing sleep, or pacing the floor, or calling people, stressing out? If this is simple and you know this already. It's the truth. We better go back to knowing more, I think. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things that you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know why you can be content with such things that you have? I saw this last night. I never seen it before. Preaching it. I can be content with such things that I have because I have him and he is more than enough. He's all I need. When you have a revelation that you have him, all the other stuff is futile, just small potatoes. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I feel forsaken and that he left me. Well, that's your problem. You go by your feelings. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by what we know in the Word. I'll tell you what, it's a good thing I didn't have to feel saved. If I had to feel saved, I'd think I was going to hell all the time. I'm just telling you the truth. There are times I do not feel like a redeemed, born-again human. In fact, I feel like, yep, I'm going straight to the pit. There's no way. There's no way he's taking me. Am I the only one that's ever felt that way? But we don't go by our feelings. We go by what we know. Well, I feel like he's left me. Don't go by your feelings. Because he told you by the Word. That's the mark of a mature Christian. They don't need to feel it. They don't need to see it. All they need to do is know what he said. That's enough for me. My paycheck's making me feel a way. My bills are making me feel a way. The symptoms of my body, this circumstance making me feel a way. But I don't care how I feel. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it looks like. All I care about is what he said. That's my truth. That's knowing the Word. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. heard a minister say this once, it's so true. The revelation, a man's perception, I'll say this, a man's perception of God's nearness. This is how Pastor Nancy wrote it in her book. A man's perception of God's nearness is what marks them for glory. A man's perception, mankind's perception of how near God is to you will determine what you'll walk into or not walk into. Because when one recognizes that God is as near as he's ever going to get, he's with you, you'll live a more faith-filled life, a more honorable life. You will. I always told the kids in youth group, you want to stop watching the bad stuff that you're watching? Have me over with you. You won't watch it with me sitting next to you. But the thing is, when I'm not there, guess who is? And when you recognize that he is, you'll live more honorable. You'll live more holy. You'll live more faith-filled, knowing I'm not going through this alone. I got God with me. It's always funny as a kid, you know, walking in the dark in the woods, I'd be afraid alone. But when I had Dad with me, I wasn't afraid. When I had a revelation of Dad next to me, I was never afraid. It's crazy. When alone, I was afraid. Imagine if we get the revelation, God's always with us. A man's perception of God's nearness is what marks them for glory. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, because of time's sake, we're not going to turn there. I want to just get through this real quick. Remember in Mark 4:35, where Jesus said, let's get to the other side with the disciples. They get out into the water, and a storm of hurricane proportions come, and the boat's filling with water and began to sink, the Bible says. And Jesus is on the boat, asleep on the pillow, but they're what? They're running around like chicken with their head cut off in doubt and unbelief. They're worried. They think they're going to die. And Jesus reprimanded them at the end and said, you're in doubt and unbelief. You don't have faith. He said, how is it that you have no faith? Remember he said that to them? Well, think about this. The whole time, God was in the boat. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. The whole time, they knew it, but they really didn't know it. Oh, I know he's with me. Oh, I know he's for me. Then why are you stressing out? Then why? You're having a freak out party every day. You don't know it. You don't know it. You have head knowledge of it, but not heart knowledge of it. And it's not been embedded in your heart yet. The day star has not arisen in your heart. Faith has not been birthed in your heart yet. If you'll continue to meditate on these things, faith will grow in there. Hallelujah. They had God in the boat, and they were freaking out. Christians, you have God in the boat. Why are we freaking out? He's got every answer. Nothing's too hard for him. But we freak out. And then when we get out of faith, we handcuff him. Hallelujah. Let's close with this. Joshua 1 and verse 1. Joshua 1 and verse 1. Praise God. I love talking about him and talking about faith. It's just so exciting to me. Faith takes the hands that are dealt you and says, I don't care what you dealt me. We're going to turn this into a winning hand. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. And trust me, I've been dealt a lot of losing hands. I'm talking about at the card table. Not just figuratively in life, you know, at the card table. But faith says that don't matter. It don't matter if you grew up with the wrong parents. It don't matter if you grew up with genetics of sickness. It don't matter. Faith can turn it all around. It don't matter if you didn't grow up with the right last name or the wrong part of the neighborhood. It don't matter. Faith will turn your world around. Praise God. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what sex you are. It doesn't matter. Amen. Faith will turn it around. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not victims. We are victors. We need to start living out of victory mentality. We have faith. It can move any mountain, praise God. Stop being a victim. Stop being a victim. And start taking what God has given you and walking in that revelation. I want to be done tonight ever being a victim anymore. Well, but this came against me. Well, but this. Yeah, that's why he gave you faith to turn it back around. We're not victims. Let's stop with the woe is me mentality. It's not faith mentality. Faith says, I got him, and that's all I need. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I've been dealt. I got him. Praise God. Joshua chapter 1, of course, I don't have time to read down through this, so let me just tell you what's happening here. This is 40 years after the children of Israel have wandered in the wilderness, and now it's time for them to go back into what God had told them to go into, or go try to get back into what God told them to do 40 years earlier, where most of them have died off, you know, but Joshua now is in the lead. Moses has died. One of the greatest leaders ever in the whole Bible, and now Joshua's got to take his place. I said this last night, I said, it's kind of like, to me, the equivalent of who followed Jim Kelly as quarterback of the Bills. I don't know. That's my point. When Jim Kelly retired in 1996, and I'm driving home from Erie listening to WGR 550, and they said Jim Kelly's retired, his press conference came on, I think that might have been one of the top five times as hard as I've ever cried in my life. That is not a joke. This can't be. And then whoever, some yahoo, takes his place, and I don't know who it is, that's my point. And Joshua's got to follow in Moses' footsteps and try to get him into something that Moses couldn't get him into. That's a tall order. And guess what? The reason they couldn't get into it before is because there were walls there. And there were cities there. And there were armies there. And there were people that looked like giants, and they looked like grasshoppers in their sight. And guess what? They're still there. The walls are still there. The armies are still there. The cities are still there. The same opposition is still saying, not coming in, not coming in. So there's a temptation now with this newfound position of authority and taking Moses' shoes that he couldn't even get him into. You can imagine the temptation to be afraid, the temptation to be worried, the temptation to be overcome by what's in front of you. I get it. Sometimes doctor's reports are scary to your ears. Sometimes doctor's reports can be scary to your eyes. Sometimes the bills stacked up on can be terrifying to look at. Things that are going on with your kids, the threats that come against you, they can be terrifying. I get it. I get it. And these things, all these things are yelling at Joshua saying, get ready to wander 40 more years. Moses couldn't do it. What makes you think you're going to? You can just imagine. The Bible leaves out all this kind of human drama, but it was there. They're human beings too. And I love what God does for him. So he's telling him in chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, he's telling him, Moses is dead, you're the leader. He says, I want you to go take this place. You got to do this. So he's prepping him, telling him, okay, it's time to go in. And look at what the first thing God tells him in verse 5 is. He said, there shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, notice what he says, I will be with you. Amen. What did I tell you to get taken care of? That he's for you and with you. For you and with you. What's the first thing God says to you? I want you to know, no one's going to be able to stand against you. I'm for you because I am with you. And I will not fail you because I'm for you and I will not forsake you. What's God doing? He's saying, I got to get my boy into faith. And the way I'm going to get him into faith is I'm going to drill who I am and what I am to him into his heart. I'm not going to leave you, Joshua. I'm for you. No one's coming against you. I'm not going to fail you. I won't forsake you. The same thing he already told you. So if the walls came down after this, and guess what? He told him again. I love it. He told him the same thing again. He said, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you. He's saying, you can be afraid and do this because I'm with you wherever you go. Why is God repeating himself? Because faith doesn't come by hearing it one time. God's telling him over and over again, I'm with you. That wall doesn't matter. I'm with you. Ladies and gentlemen, a revelation of God being with you obliterates the fear of sickness. It obliterates the fear of poverty. It obliterates the fear of the pressure and the oppression and the opposition coming against you, because that God that's with you and for you has the answer and is more powerful and mighty than anything you face. Praise God. So your job is to know him. Get to know him. Why? Great exploits follow. Some of us need some great exploits to walk into. Amen? Well, can we just worship him tonight? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and magnify you. We glorify you. We praise you. You know, faith is an act. All these people, Noah had to act. Abraham had to act. Elijah had to act. Moses had to act. Well, the way we're going to act tonight is I want you right now in your seat. You can stand, sit, whatever. But I want you to think about right now that which is attempting to keep you out. That which is attempting to drive you back. That which is attempting to oppress you. It can be financial, physical, things with your children, things in your job, things in your business, emotions, things with your in your mind. And I want us to look to Him. And I want you to have this newfound revelation that He's with you. What does it look like going to take that city with Him with you? Come on and just worship Him from a place of faith. Father, I don't care of the how. I don't care of the where. I don't care of the when. I don't need to know the details. I don't need to know all the plan. All I need to know is that You are with me, and You won't fail me, and You won't forsake me, and You won't leave me, and You're for me, and You won't fail me, and You won't forsake me. We praise You, Lord. We glorify You. No matter what shows up at our door, You're still with us. You're still for us, and You're still not going to leave us. No matter what comes on this earth, You're still with us, You're still for us, and You're never going to leave us. And we praise You for it, Father. We thank You that You are working in our behalf. You're working when we can't see it, and You're working when we can't feel it, but we know it. We don't have to see it or feel it to know it. We know it, Father. And we just declare right now that things are turning. Things are changing. Walls are coming down. Things are things that need to be made brand new are being made brand new. Father, we thank You for it. We praise You for it. We glorify You. You are our help. You are our answer. We praise and magnify You. Father, thank You for helping us tonight. Thank You for helping us tonight. Lord, we love You so much. Now, Father, I don't have anything else in my heart, so we're going to close right there. You can be seated, but please bow your heads and close your eyes. Please, nobody looking around. I just want to say something real quick, you know. How awesome to have God for you and on your side, but here's the thing. There's a misconception in the world. I see it on Facebook. I hear it on the news that people say that everybody's a child of God. We're all children of God. It's just not biblical. The Bible says that in John chapter 1 and verse 12, to the people that received Jesus, those are the ones He gave the right to be called the children of God. He said, I want God to be for me. I want God to be on my side. Now, I'm talking to people here. I'm talking to people on live stream. Well, there's a first thing you got to go through to get Him on your side and for you. You got to receive His Son, Jesus. Then you become His child, and He becomes a good father to you. And to receive Jesus, it's simple. You know, it's not church attendance. It's not jumping through religious hoops. It's not your good deeds outweighing your bad. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. That's it. Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the answer to get into heaven. With heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. I won't embarrass you. I promise I won't have you stand up or come forward or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you say, you know what, Pastor Mike, I've never received Jesus. I've gone to church. I've tried to be a good person. But I can say that I've never officially entered into a relationship with Him. I've never called on His name. If that's you with heads bowed and eyes closed, tonight could be a new beginning for you. You're not committing to this church. You're not saying, I want to become a member of Family Church. No, you're just saying, I want to receive Jesus. So with heads bowed, eyes closed again, nobody looking around, we won't embarrass you. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight, would you just lift your hand high in the air and then put it back down? Is there anybody that's never done that? I see that hand. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. Thank you for your boldness. God has such a good plan for all of us. And it starts here. I don't mean this location. I mean it starts here at the cross, receiving Jesus. You know, religion will tell you that you're not good enough to receive Jesus, or that you didn't do enough religious cartwheels or backflips, or you didn't go to church enough, but Jesus never said that's how you get saved. He said, if you believe on me, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. So to those people that raised their hands, or anybody that maybe didn't raise their hand in service, maybe you're shy, or those of you watching online, and obviously I can't see your hands, it's not the hand raising that gets you born again or saved or into God's kingdom. It's doing the word, which is believing and receiving. Romans 10:9 tells us what to do. So we need to believe, confess our belief, and ask him to come into our life. But I told you I wouldn't embarrass you. I'm going to say a prayer. And the contents of this prayer are going to be declaring you believe in Jesus and asking him into your life. Now, you're not going to have to say that on your own. Everybody's going to lift your voice. You're not going to have to think of the words on your own. But I just ask you to mean these words with all your heart. For those that raise their hand, everybody else in here, and anybody online that's watching that needs to get involved or just watching, you're already born again, join your faith with us. But let's go ahead and say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross
for my sin.
And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can look up here. You know, the Bible says when one person gives their heart to Jesus, the angels rejoice. And I always say this to everybody, not only to the people that raise their hands here, anybody that's watching online, just anybody at all, it's a good reminder. There's a next step for you. You never have to step foot in church again to go to heaven. Most preachers might not tell you that, but it's true. But if you want to walk into all that God has for you, find a Bible teaching church that preaches the word. We do that here. If you feel called to be here, plant here. I'd love to be your pastor. It'd be an honor and a privilege to do so. But plant somewhere where they're teaching the Bible, where you can learn about all that God has for you and start living it.
Amen.
Amen. And for those that are newer or visiting with us, take one of these cards with you that's found in the seat back. On the back of that, it's got the phone number and my email address. Please let me know who you are. I'd love to get to talk to you, help you with your next steps going forward in life. Anybody that's watching online, the number's on the website. God has so much for us going forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what a night.
Amen.
Praise God. What a night. Well, we're going to take up an offering real quick. If you're visiting or newer with us, don't feel obligated to put anything in the bucket. And during this time with the coronavirus and guidelines and things, the way the Lord's directed me is we're going to do it at the end of service like we are, but the ushers are going to dismiss you from the back going out. There'll be a bucket on the chair there. You can set it in there, and then you can just head home. And we'll get back to fellowshipping and loving on one another before you know it. But again, if you're visiting or newer, please don't feel obligated to put anything in the bucket. But real quick, I don't want to preach a second sermon. Go to Matthew 7:26. Of course, we know that the Bible talks to us, and I'm talking to people online here too. Matthew 7:26. I'm talking to people that are watching now. We know that the Bible instructs us to do things with our money. We're supposed to be good stewards. We don't just think this stuff up of, well, I think I'll do this with my paycheck. No, thankfully, God put a system of tithes and offerings and the Holy Ghost to help me with this stuff. And so there's things to do with our money, tithes, offerings, obey our hearts. But look at what Jesus said. He said, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine, that means hears the word of God and does them not. He said, I'll liken them unto a foolish man. Now he goes on to say that they're like a person that builds a house on a sand and the rains come, all that stuff, and then the house collapses. But notice he says the people that hear the word and don't do it are fools. You know what a synonym of foolish is? Stupid. Dumb. Have you ever been a dummy before? Jesus said, people that don't do my word are dumb. Because how dumb would it be to not do his word? I know this, that when I got born again, tithing at first was a little bit of a challenge because you think, wow, that's a lot of money I'm going to lose. The devil tries to hide all the good things that come from it. And then I started tithing and seeing the benefits, and then I realized what a dummy I was. Tonight I was on my way to church, let you in on a little behind the scenes. I get bored when I'm driving. And then I get sleepy. So I have games and stuff like that I'll play in my car. I encourage you to try this. This one's a good one. I'll play a game like where I try, the song comes on that I'm listening to, you know, if I'm listening to Hillsong or whatever, and if I don't know every word, like I got to know every single word, can't mess up one word, and if I mess up one word, I picture that I have to like walk a plank into like sharks or something or crocodiles. So it helps me, you know, keeps me awake and sharp. But tonight, the other thing I like to do is I like to see how many bubbles with my gum I can blow inside another bubble. And so tonight, I didn't have a gum that was really suited to really be strong on the outside, but it gets big, but not strong. So I'm getting big, trying to blow it. And all of a sudden, I'm driving my sunglasses on, and that thing pops fully in my face. And my glasses are covered in gum, and I had to quickly slow down and pull over and take those things off and dig and peel the gum. And I thought to myself, that was really dumb. Let's get out of the dumb crowd. Let's get out of the dumb crowd and into the wise crowd. What's the wise crowd? Doing what Jesus said to do. Amen. So if you're not a tither and you're watching, you're here, you're not a tither, you're not a giver, stop being dumb. You're hurting yourself. Amen. I learned my lesson. No more doing that. I thought, oh my gosh, what if it would have gotten my hair or all over my suit tonight? That would have been terrible. No more being dumb. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give tonight. Lord, we are so blessed to be able to provide for this house. We call all the needs of Family Church South Dayton met in Jesus' name. All the money, all the buildings, all the property, all the equipment, and all the people that we need to do what you've called us to do, it comes. And everyone under the sound of my voice that's faithful to be a doer of the word, they walk into the promotions, the increase, the divine ideas, the favor, and wisdom financially that you promised they could have. We thank you for unexpected blessings and supernatural debt payoff coming our way. Bless us, Lord, so we can be a bigger blessing. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you Sunday. You're dismissed. Praise God.